Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
The mail's here.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Welcome back to the Pride of Detroit podcast, P-O-D-cast, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, prideofdetroit.com. We're back here for a special mini-episode. We told you we would. It's our special little mailbag. We usually do the mailbags every week. We did not get to do one on the last P-O-D-cast. Here we are on the eve of St. Patty's Day, trying to figure out how to keep our brackets alive in the NCAA tournament and how best to sleep and prepare ourselves for the drunken festivities. I am Chris Lemieux at Adequate Host, and joining me as always, Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online and Ryan Matthews
back is the motherfucking rock guy
at Ryan underscore POD. Guys, we're back here. It's Thursday night. How you guys doing?
This is March.
This is March.
This is March.
March is this.
Chris has a perfect bracket, and I'm saying it on this so that I jinx it.
Yeah, you're going to jinx it while, like, Florida State's still playing. I really hate you.
There's still, like, three or four more games tonight, but yeah, you're going down.
Yeah, yeah, there's plenty going on. No, it's fine. It's the first round. It's not going to matter. I'm going to lose one of my final four and, like, end up fifth or something.
I'm secretly jealous. Even though I've never spent any time doing any research on my bracket, I'm jealous that I've never, like, gone an hour into the tournament without having my perfect bracket broken. I just want that, like, tiny bit of hope that's like, maybe there's a chance I'm, like, that last person left. Maybe there's that minuscule chance, but it never comes close.
You have more of a chance to get a Willy Wonka golden ticket than a fucking perfect bracket, so let's just put that to bed right now, okay?
That's I'd be cool with that.
Okay, well, we've got quite a few questions, actually. We've kind of let this one percolate, collect dust, debris. We're going to try to read every question we can. We got plenty of time to do it. So I'm putting the watch on right now. We're going to see how long this goes. We're going to try to answer as many questions as we can in a nondescript time frame. And let's see where we go. I'm babbling too much. I've been drinking. So let's go. Okay, let's start with Josh Farrington, who asks us, with all this offensive line work, is Quinn serious about drafting running backs, specifically Mixon? I swear I can talk. And how do I stop that happening?
I don't buy all this running back talk, to be honest. I really don't.
You don't?
Not at all. I mean, I think if the Lions draft a running back, it's not going to be until the third day. I don't think we see one in the first, second, or third round. I just don't, like, I mean, we heard Quinn talk all offseason about how to build a running game, you have to build a good blocking team from inside to out, and that's what he's doing right now. The Lions have a blocking tight end. The Lions have two pretty damn good blocking offensive linemen that are new to the team. I think people forget just how much a good offensive line can change your running game, period. And I'm confident in the running back crew that they have right now.
Yeah, I was about to say, did we all forget about Amir Abdullah?
Everybody generally does forget about Amir Abdullah. Like, I mean, I know the Lions' first two opponents were the Colts and the Titans last year, but through six quarters, Amir Abdullah looked pretty damn good. And you can make the argument that the offensive line wasn't nearly as good as it stands today right now. I don't like the idea, this, like, groundswell behind this narrative that because the Lions picked up two new offensive linemen in Wagner and Lang, that all of a sudden they're a very good run-blocking team. And the next move now is to get a running back. Because I don't know for sure if they are going to improve the running game that much, if they're going to be a market improvement. You know, Larry Warford was one of the best run blocking guards in football. And compared to TJ Lang, I just think, I don't know. I have to see how they fit. I'm going to save some of my, you know, I'm going to have some reservations about it, but I just don't like the idea of, oh, you know, Matthew Stafford, you've never had a running game until now. Now you're going to have one. It's like, I'm not sure that I'm not sure that Wagner and Lang are those guys to improve the running game so dramatically.
No, I always thought Wagner was more of a pass protector than someone for the run game. Just in overall profile.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we put out an article today. We talked to Baltimore Beatdown about that, and he actually said quite the opposite, which is kind of runs in the face of what Pro Football Focus says and what a lot of people are saying, that indeed Wagner's more of a pass-blocking guy. But the guys at Baltimore Beatdown said just the opposite. They said Wagner really excels at that, and I think he said the 2014 season, which the Ravens ran for over 2,000 yards as a team, like, Wagner was on it. That was his year as a run blocker, and they just got away from the run game in 2016, so that's why, in his mind, why his running grades weren't as good as they were in previous years, or as good as his pass blocking skills. I'm going to have to go back and look, but I'm intrigued by it. I do think the running game's going to be quite a bit better just based on the moves that they've already made. And well, that doesn't mean that they're going to become more of a running team, but I do think they're going to be better.
The running game's going to improve just from having Amir Abdullah back.
That's probably true, yes. Too, yeah. Yeah.
And I think he's the most important factor. But the other thing, too, though, is that if you want to make the claim that Wagner was a better run-blocking, you know, tackle in 2014, well, that's when Gary Kubiak was still there, too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a completely different, you know, it's a different offense. You know, then Trestman comes in and the offense changes. So that's why I'm kind of holding, like, my reservations until I need to go and kind of study a little bit and see what Baltimore's, you know, what their, like, assignments were and everything and their blocking style, because maybe, you know, Wagner's, you know, profile just fit Kubiak's system better than it did Trestman's, and how is that going to translate to him playing with the Lions? I mean, this is something that a lot of people I don't think, you know, quite understand about free agency and players fitting into new roles. Like, just because there's the top cornerback out on the market, you know, like Stephon Gilmore, for example, just because he's the number one target available or the number one cornerback that everybody deems him to be, he doesn't fit in everybody's scheme. Like, that happened last year with Josh Norman. Like, Josh Norman gets cut, all of a sudden he goes from Carolina, where he's asked to do something much different than he was in Washington, and he got exposed a little bit in Washington.
That's a good point, but kind of going off that, it's important to point out that Jim Caldwell has familiarity with Rick Wagner, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This kind of dovetails into another question we had here. Just going back here, back to the run game, which you guys are talking about. Daryl Strawberry, not actually Daryl Strawberry, asked us, like, do you think the Lions should draft Joe Mixon? Do you think the Lions, like, I know your opinion already, like, but I guess I want to ask, I don't think you're going to draft Joe Mixon. I don't think that's, we already laid that out. I don't think them taking him in the first couple of days of the draft is a good idea. But, like, what if the Lions were going to pick up a running back to improve this run game, what would be the guy that would come to mind that you would want? I mean, for me, obviously, I think about someone who can run north-south. Because Amir Abdullah bounced to the outside. Theo Riddick is kind of more of a passing running back. And Zach Zenner, I'm sorry, is kind of forgettable.
Here you go with your Zach Zenner takes again.
call me a little bit, you know, uninformed, or I guess just like less prepared than I should be, but I need to go back and do a little bit more research on how well Amir Abdullah does in pass blocking. Because I think that that's going to be a really important element. And if the Lions want to upgrade from the running back position, I think I agree with you, Chris. Like, I would much rather have another north-south guy to complement Abdullah's ability to kind of slash. So there's some guys in the draft that come to mind that we've talked about. P. Ryan from Oklahoma. Kareem Hunt, even his style is a little bit more north-south. He can, like, he does have moves. He's got a really nice spin move, but he fits the profile of a guy who'd be a compliment to Abdullah. But I think it's going to be really important to have a very good third down back who can get back there and, you know, step up in, like, the A-gap and get, like, A-gap blitzes and everything. Because just because Theo Riddick is He is like a third down back. Like, I think that's the role that he fits. You can split him out wide You know, and Jeremy's talked about this. You know, if we want to add more talent, we absolutely can. Like, let's just use the best talent that we have and use it however we can. Like, Theo Riddick, like, used to play receiver, you know? Like, he played a lot of receiver at Notre Dame, right, Chris?
Yep, he did. He kind of converted over, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, that skill set is in his repertoire. I mean, can he run, like, NFL routes? Probably not, but he can do the things that you want him to. And, if they add a runner, I don't know. What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, it's tough. We can dovetail this conversation into Adrian Peterson, if you want, because I do kind of think the route that they should go if they're adding a running back, not Adrian Peterson specifically, but free agency, I think. There's always LeGarrette Blount out there, which I'm just going to continue to say until it actually happens. But if we are talking draft, I know a name on a lot of people's lips late in the draft, and this guy's a great story, is James Conner out of Pitt. He would fit that profile in terms of the kind of runner that they would need. Probably get him in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, and I would be okay with that. The great story behind him, if you don't know, diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, beat it, and came back like just as good as expected. But he has torn his MCL as well, so he does have health concerns, but... a draft pick like that would be the exact opposite of drafting a guy with as many character concerns as the guy that started this conversation that I can't think of the name right now, but that guy.
Joe Mixon.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our attention to free agency. Jerry Mallory here with a question, our own Jerry Mallory. You're forced to sign an old injured running back, Jamaal Charles or AD, Adrian Peterson. I'm not saying AP, it's AD. Which one are you signing and why?
You know the scene in The Dark Knight where the Joker just sets all that money on fire because that doesn't matter to him? I would rather watch money burn than sign either of those players.
It's whoever signs the least and then you cut them right after you sign them. I don't want either of those guys. Anything that Adrian Peterson could do well, he can't do well anymore. He just can't. And I don't like Jamaal Charles, I don't know. When's the last time he did anything?
I wish them the best.
I would take Jamaal Charles over AD just on the basis that I don't think Jamaal Charles beats his kid.
There it is.
Okay, next question here.
Okay.
Let's step back from this ledge a little bit. Actually, do we want to read those reviews before we continue on with the podcast?
Sure.
We got a couple of new reviews. We always read the reviews. Do you want me to read the first one?
You read whichever one you want. I'll read the other one.
Okay. I'm going to read this one from Ray Stockinas. Oh, I know this guy. He follows us on Twitter. Best Lions Podcast, 5 stars. This is by far the best wrestling podcast going today. I appreciate they sometimes you make reference to my favorite NFL team. Come on, people. If you want a dry show that spouts numbers and has no fun, obviously listen to the show anyway, then listen to a lesser podcast afterwards. If you're looking for a lesser podcast to listen to, I might suggest my show, Knowing is Half the Podcast. The G.I. Joe Recap Comedy Show, currently found on the Boardwalk Audio Network. Okay, enough cheap plugs and cheap and selfish plugs aside, this is a show that every Lions fan should be listening to, and I will be forever thankful for them for bringing Toto's Africa into the Lions lexicon. Good work, guys. Thank Ray.
It's a good review, Ray.
Very
outside
good review.
Outside of the first paragraph, I give that review 4 stars.
Stop it. We're 2 weeks away. We're on the road.
We're on the road to WrestleMania. And Jeremy, if you say anything else, Ryan and I are going to sit here and talk about New Japan.
All right. Our other review is from FunnyPenguin97. He gave us 4 stars. Says it's good podcast. Only problem is they're reliant on PFF. Every time I hear PFF has graded him as, he's graded pretty high on PFF, I cringe. Stop using PFF, guys. They're trash. Other than that, I genuinely enjoy this podcast.
Okay. I mean, we use PFF. I'm sorry. I got to jump in here on this. Like, I understand the aversion to PFF. We've gone hard on PFF, too, but they are a nice, handy guide, and the rest of the football world has adopted them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that's what that's what needs to be made clear, is they are a resource. They are not the end-all, be-all. They are not the Bible. They are not the Torah. They are not whatever your holy scripture is, okay? Like, they are a resource. They are one valuable resource among plenty.
We did the same thing a lot earlier on with Football Outsiders, and people, I think we got some backlash using DVOA.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter which resource we use. But the thing is, it's like, what would you want us to do? Would you want us to run down, like, all of their box score stats? That's going to sound awful. We do this as a quick guide.
That's the thing. Like, box score stats are so much worse. Like, you look at a guy like Paul Warlew, who probably isn't going to start for the Lions, or, God help us, isn't going to start. Dude had, like, 140 tackles in 1 year, second or third most. He's not good. He's not good. So these advanced sites, they're, like you said, they're part of the puzzle, but they also help us with guys that we never watch. Like, who among us has watched Rick Wagner specifically on more than 10 snaps right now?
You know me, I'm a goddamn idiot when it comes to the offensive line.
I mean, I'm going to go back and do my research, but like, when you're in this first week of trying to figure out who these players are, you gotta use players like PFF who've been looking at a guy like that by himself all year.
Okay, let's get back to the question, shall we? Let's go to N.E. Shaw, who has two questions for us, and I like both of them. First off, this one's for Ryan. Crispity or crunchity?
Peanut buttery.
Peanut buttery. Okay, I'll live with that.
Notice how it's not peanut butter, it's peanut buttery.
Chocolatey, too. It's not chocolate either. Okay, his second question is, Qdoba or Chipotle? I know you put one in the list cast and not the other. Explain yourself.
I think that, didn't only Alex put?
Alex had the burrito in his top 10.
Yeah.
I did too, actually. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay, I missed that.
Yeah, the only thing I remember about Jeremy's list is a dessert from Del Taco being at number one.
Yep. We got a lot of blowback for that list cast, rightly so.
Yeah, that was awful. It was terrible.
That was list cast.
Our lists were awful. It was highly entertaining, though.
Yeah, probably our best one.
I kind of lean towards Qdoba, but just because I enjoy their taco salad more than I do Chipotle's. That's really the only thing I ever get from Qdoba. I don't get burritos, really, like, from places like that.
Yeah, and I don't know where there is a Qdoba anywhere around me. I've been to it once or twice, but it's just not available enough for me to hit it up. They have, like, that queso sauce, which I hear is pretty good, but...
Yeah, I've heard good things about their queso. I like Moe's better than both. I think Moe's has the superior burritos, and you can get a lot different things. You can get, like, fresh jalapeno in your burrito at Moe's.
Fresh anything is usually pretty delicious.
All right, let's see here.
Insightful.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Well, did you want me to make my other analogy that Rick Wagner is the Qdoba to Jeremy because he's, like, seen him maybe once or twice and he thinks that his run blocking might be pretty good, like Qdoba's cheese queso dip is pretty good?
Yeah, I like that.
Big Slick McDick asks, I can't be the only one who thinks if they wanted to, the troops could put together a basketball team and dominate the NCAA.
You know, David Robinson... His nickname was the Admiral because he was a midshipman. He was from the Navy. He was from the GD Navy. So, do they have to be present military, or could they be
the
troops?
They
have to be serving military, or can they be?
They just have to be the troops.
Veterans.
They could be a guy stealing valor at Walmart, or they could be like a Kurdish YPG guerrilla or something.
Here we go. Jeremy, pull the plug on this kid.
I am not touching this question with a 20-foot pole. Let's go on to the next one, please.
Cookie991, what car do you drive and what car do you want to drive? Well, this is topical because I believe Ryan just got a new car.
I did. I did just buy a new car. I got a 2016 Jeep Cherokee.
Nice.
It's roomy. It has the new car smell. I never want it to go away. I have officially turned a new page in my life because I went to go get it washed today because I live in Michigan and there's salt on the roads and it gets dirty. And
what color?
It's black.
Oh yeah, that'll definitely get dirty from the salt.
Right, so I took it through the car wash today, I got out, and I noticed that there were like watermarks because they didn't do the best job drying it, and I got so...
Oh,
mad, like a typical 44-year-old.
I was gonna say, you're suddenly older than I am.
Jesus.
That's bad.
Yeah, yeah. So that was bad. What do you guys driving these days?
I still have my Volvo. I actually started with a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and I'm sure the new Cherokees are great. The Grand Cherokee was fucking awful. Well, I hated that thing.
Do you remember what year it was?
It was from the 90s.
Oh.
It was like one of the first few models of Grand Cherokee that had come out. And when my dad handed it down to me, like the heater like would burn you, and the engine sounded weird. It got passed down to my brother once I left for college, and he blew that thing out within a couple of years. So it was not in the best of state. Right now, I drive a Volvo S40, early 2000s model. I have that because I actually lost one of my aunts to a traffic accident way back, like right when I was young. So my family insists I either drive a really big car or I drive something that had like a 5-star safety rating. And I hated driving that Cherokee so much, I ended up just insisting on a smaller car. So I ended up getting a Volvo. And I'm glad I did, because I remember I went up to see Alex in Detroit one week. And I was driving back down to Toledo. I smacked into a retaining wall because there's construction everywhere in Toledo. There's not a single dent on my Volvo from that. This thing is built like a tank.
Bravo.
Yeah. The only problem is if something breaks in it, it's really expensive to fix it because it's Swedish. But I really enjoy that Volvo. It's not the best. I would love to upgrade. I'm really in love with like 70s. American muscle cars. Like, I would love to get like one of those older Camaro models or a Dodge Charger or something, or even like, you know, the General Lee with minus the Confederate flag, but the General Lee, whatever car the General Lee was from Dukes of Hazzard,
and minus that silly ass horn.
yeah, blaring Dixie. Yeah, just the car, which I'm pretty sure that's a Charger, right? It was a Charger. Yeah. I like those kind of... No? Okay.
You're asking the wrong guy right now. I was like nodding my head as you were saying 70s muscle car. I'm like, yeah, that sounds super cool, man.
Well, I know, like, I missed a grand opportunity. I was living in Savannah and someone was selling a car just like the General Lee. Or it was orange, too. And again, one of those 70s muscle cars for like $6,000. And I honestly thought on the spot, ringing this guy up saying, don't go nowhere, I'm going to go sell my Volvo and I'll come back with the cash. I didn't do it. And I regret it.
Maybe a good decision. I'm not sure that car would have bounced off the retaining wall and kept you
that's
good.
That's true. I would not have like a headlight right now.
Could be talking RIP Chris right now.
Yeah.
We could be without an adequate host.
What about you, Jeremy?
I drive a 2008 Honda Civic, and if you're ready for some Cali boy shit, I want a Prius. Fuck you.
No, you gotta go for the what's that new one? Is like a hatchback? Or is like a hybrid, like a crossover or something?
I don't know. I mean, I'm all about just something that serves my limited needs and saves me money. So give me a hybrid.
Have you ever driven? I did have a rental one time. Did you ever drive one of those like the actual ones that are called smart car?
No.
That's like one of those tiny little two seaters.
Yeah. My uncle used to drive one of those and like told me horror stories of semis going by you on the highway and you're just like afraid that thing is gonna fly off the like a piece of paper.
I could not actually drive that rental smart car I had like automatic, because there would be like a gap when it would be switching over gears and it would just lurch in place. I had to actually like drive it stick.
Yeah, that's scary. Yeah. I would never drive anything that would you guys ever buy a self-driving car and trust
no,
it?
No, hell no. No. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
I don't trust these robots.
Yeah, fuck like, yeah. I've seen iRobot before. Like, I'm not getting in a self-driving car.
I've seen Terminator. I've seen The Matrix. The rebooting The Matrix.
Yeah, it's called self-driving cars.
I would get in one of those self-driving Ubers. I think they're doing them in Pittsburgh. I'm just to fucking see it.
You know what I'd be more scared of than the self-driving Ubers? The self-driving semis that are getting on the roads.
That's... Yeah, that's scary. I thought you were about to do the John Cena drop.
No, we still have plenty more of this mailbag. Are you kidding me?
That was a lot of car talk. Suddenly,
yeah. from people who do not know don't cars.
Know. Dude, I have to change the coolant on my car. I don't know where to put it.
I'd probably put it in the gas tank.
seems like a good spot for it. Hey, gas tank probably gets a little hot. Throw some coolant in there.
Yeah.
All right, Honolulu Blues at Almost Trusty asks us, who do you think will win the long snapping battle and how many articles will be written about it?
Let's set the over under at 6.5.
Okay.
Per week.
I'm actually going to take the under because I think it'll be on 6.
I just hope, I want this to get, like, come to a satisfying conclusion, because last year was not satisfying. I mean, I'm glad that we had Muehlbach, but he won by disqualification, to put in wrestling terms.
No. Oh, okay, hold on a second. I was just blown back there for a second.
He won by count out.
Let me come back to my original point. Don won that fair and square. He was the better long snapper in camp. I saw him in person with my own two eyes.
There was more velocity
on the snaps. He was more accurate. Oh, you want to make your point that Jimmy was injured and that's why he wasn't performing as well? Well, you know what? Durability's a skill, and I stand by it.
I think there was some Tanya Harding action going on behind the scenes.
How dare you? How dare you accuse Don of doing something like that?
Why?
By the way, we are recording on Thursday night, so happy Austin 316.
Hell yeah.
Better day than Pi Day and May the 4th combined.
Did you guys see that tweet that the Colorado Rockies sent out where they lined up all of their players on spring training and they did whatever numeric for Pi? Like, they went, like, all the way down the line.
Ugh.
I know too I did many
that
of those
so I, I did that so I could get that reaction from Chris.
Can we talk more about 316 Day?
Yeah, we can. I mean, I wish we could, but that's going to be available in the After Hours podcast.
the Ryan and Chris stay up all night watching Kenny Omega wrestle Okada podcast.
You're doing it right now. You're doing it.
We're drawing it.
Jeremy, you don't know the plans me and Ryan have put in motion right now.
Yeah, and you're actually gonna be there.
Yeah.
What? Good luck dragging me out of this apartment.
what a self-own. You're saying you'd never leave your apartment.
Not to see a fucking wrestling event.
All right, next question.
Beast F-Ball asks us, who is the best tweeter of the staff?
I mean, I was going to argue for myself, but Chris is setting fucking records, beating POD records right now.
Yeah, I made a really dumb post about, I think there was a Time article talking about whales are forming these supergroups and no one knows why. And I said it reminded me of a podcast I saw when I was 17 and high as balls.
An anime that you saw?
Yeah, an anime that I saw.
Okay.
What did I say? I'm sorry.
A podcast that you saw?
And somehow it is right now sitting at about 1,500 likes and about 470 retweets. And I don't know how. It's probably one of my worst tweets, but people really are getting on it. So that's my brand now, is the apocalypse and drugs.
An anime.
And whales. Yeah, I mean, Jeremy has his own brand, but winging it in Motown does it better than he does. Which
How
is,
dare you?
It's a bummer, I mean, but it's just, like, something that you have to accept as fact.
We all kind of do something very different, though. Like, Alex is just really talks a ton about draft stuff and is constantly doing film stuff. Ryan, you kind of cover, like, all the sports stuff and a lot of NBA stuff.
Yeah, today I went pretty hard on the Stone Cold stuff.
You did. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I don't talk about... I barely talk about the Lions. I am far more talking about kind of the weirder stuff that we are into behind the scenes than I am into. Kyle is a good follow if you're really into Michigan.
or if you're interested in what was the show they had on HBO way back? Was it like Taxi Cab Confessionals or something like that?
Yes. Yes.
Wait, what is the connection with Kyle there?
Because Kyle every morning, like, Kyle is always taking a taxi somewhere for work, and he's always tweeting about like some terrible conversation or interaction he had with a taxi cab driver. They're entertaining tweets, and I told Kyle they were, and he's like, well, I'm glad somebody finally appreciates my taxi cab tweets.
Yeah, follow Kyle, please. At K-Y-E underscore ill.
Kyle, that's his stage name. Yeah. Follow Kent Platt if you really like numbers.
Yeah, Kent Platt's very good with the numbers, especially his RAS metric. Jeremy kind of...
If you want to follow Jeremy, just follow Wingin' at Motown. It's better.
Fuck you. Where else are you going to find people sad about DeAndre Levy? I'm your one-stop shop for that.
That's a really hot market these days.
Lethal Sacks dropped us off about 20 questions here, and I don't know which one to read.
All 20 of them.
All right, I'm just going to read all of them at once. How's that?
That's not good podcasting. Are they rapid fire questions? Can we get these answers off?
No, they're not. God, no, they're not.
Some of them are.
Let me, okay.
Is ketchup only for toddlers? Yes.
That's what he says, yes.
No, that was also my answer.
That's also your answer? Well, fuck you.
Yeah, let's not read any of his questions. They sound, terrible.
I want to read one of these. I like this one. Rank your top three sodas.
Top three sodas. It's a mini list cast.
Yeah, sure. This is a lot better than the musical one, because I don't know. I hate musicals, so. Go ahead, sodas. So my answer is pop, not soda. I'm sorry, Al. It is pop here. I know you're down from Florida. We call it pop up here.
Jeremy, do you still call it pop, or do you call it soda now?
I've been fighting the people around me and myself to keep saying pop, but I slip every now and then. I also don't drink pop anymore, so this question doesn't appeal to me anymore. But Dr. Pepper, number one.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay. I never put you as a Dr. Pepper man.
23 flavor.
If you have one of those, like, fancy soda machines, see, I just did it right there, pop machines that have like a billion flavors that you can, they have the touch screen.
The remix machines.
Yeah, you cherry, vanilla, Dr. Pepper.
There you go.
To the
It's
good. My top three, did it have to be in order? Whatever. Number three is just good old fashioned original Coca-Cola. Number two would be vanilla Coke. And number one is Sprite.
Really? Sprite?
I do like Sprite a lot. I don't drink it that often, though, but if I'm going to get a pop, I drink the Sprite.
Sprite's weird because I feel like I only get it in very specific situations. Like, every time I go to Wingstop and I have something spicy, for some reason Sprite feels like the right choice.
I can get that. And it's something about, it's something about it coming from the fountain, too, though. Like, I think fountain Sprite is much better than bottle Sprite.
Yes.
Which is weird, right? Because it's, like, almost the opposite for every other pop out there.
Yeah, other than, I would say, Coca-Cola.
Actually, I don't like Fountain Coke. I do like Fountain Mountain Dew. Wow. Fountain Mountain Dew is all right. Mm. But my number one's definitely original Coca-Cola. I'm kind of a scumbag like that. Georgia wore off on me. I am all about the original Coca-Cola. I've tried doing diet. That life version they have with Stevia is okay. But other than that, I can't drink. I've tried diet. I've tried zero. I need the original.
Mm. Fair enough. So. Cherry cola is really
none of you.
Cherry's fine, but it's a little heavy. But yeah.
None of you are part of Generation Next with Pepsi.
I wasn't. No. I wasn't born then.
I was born in the South. I was born drinking Coke.
What are your other two, Chris?
My other two is these two are in no particular order. I had Surge again for the other time in my life.
this man just said to me, yeah, cherry cola is a little heavy, but he's like, Surge?
listen, it's not as heavy as Mountain Dew, actually.
We have to put this in context because Chris is trying to quit energy drinks, so this is his method.
It's Lent. I'm not quitting it. It's Lent. It's Lent. Oh. I gave them up for Lent.
Okay.
So. I've been going through, a rough time. I'm sorry. And then my other one is, this is probably going to make someone quit the podcast right now. It's Canada Dry.
Where's Baja Blast?
That would be, that'd be under with the Surge and all the other citrus flavored sodas.
I'm surprised.
No, you don't get to claim all the citrus flavored sodas at number two.
I'm surprised no one went. I'm not a big root beer guy, but I'm surprised neither of you had a root beer.
This listcast sucked, which is keeping in line with all of our listcasts. Okay, Lions Analysis asks us, if the Lions take Jabril Peppers, how would you feel? What happens to Killebrew? What position does he play?
This is a tough one. I have a hard time selling myself on Jabril Peppers to the Lions. It doesn't seem to make sense to me. I read Dave Burkett. He made a good argument that, he's a guy that has so much talent that good coaches find a spot to put him in, and he might not be in one spot. You may not be able to call him just a strong safety. Maybe he's a strong safety on first down and a linebacker on second and a pass rusher on third or whatever. But I just, I don't see it with the Lions. And they have players at some of those positions, not all of those positions already. And he's really not the ball-hawking playmaker that a lot of people make him out to be either. So I don't know. It's not for me. That pick is not for me.
One Pride asks us, does TJ Lang have that blue-collar work ethic?
I think so. He's from Michigan.
Yeah.
When you're born in Michigan, it's something that, is just kind of like part of your DNA, I think. Like, it's part of your genetic makeup. Like, you come out of the womb and you're whining and you get slapped with an Allen wrench and then you're blue collar. I don't have anything else to say about TJ Lang. Jeremy, do you think that he's got that blue collar work ethic?
Yeah, I think it's like you said, blue collarness in Michigan is not like Maybelline. You're born with it.
All right. As I said, follow at Winging It Motown for jokes that are much better than that.
No, man. That's off the cuff, bro. All right? You chill out.
I think that's about it for our mailbag. I see we're about 40 minutes or so. I don't want to read too many more. We've got a couple more here, but we'll have to save these for a later edition of the mailbag. So thank you all for who sent them in. We're all kind of angry at each other right now, I can see. So
I find it hard to believe that anyone has listened to the end of this, all the way to the end. I don't know what this was.
Where do you think people usually check out? What question do you think makes a lot of people check out?
Probably around the words "Road to WrestleMania," I would say.
Oh, stop it! If anything, they checked out when we were talking about cars for 3 minutes.
That's probably true.
But if you have made it this far in the podcast, I'm going to give my Lions prediction right now for this season.
Oh, really? That's random. We probably should have teased that so that they would have listened to it.
No. Loyal people only, not hoes.
Also, if you're still listening, please review, because you clearly love this podcast enough to listen to our inane thoughts for 40 minutes. Give us a review and say how ridiculous we are. But Ryan, give us your prediction. I'm intrigued now.
This is what I would predict the Lions' record to be if they get this guy in the draft. And the one guy that they have to get in the draft, his name is
John Cena!
I think that
I'm going to have to cut that. You son of a bitch.
I wanted to see what your guys' reactions would be.
I have to cut that now, you son of a bitch.
Yes, you absolutely do have to cut that.
Thank you for making work for me. Thank you.